How are y'all today?
Good to see ya.
Greetings from Seattle. I feel right at home in this weather. This is good old Seattle weather. And when I was driving up, I also noticed that we're in Wayne County, right? It's Wayne County, so feeling very at home here. Yeah, the Macedonians. Yeah, that's true. What are the Macedonians? That's somewhere in Greece or something. I don't know. And there's Greece nearby here too. So you guys have the whole kind of European thing going on. Good. Well, it's just great to be together. And I feel right at home here at this Calvary. And yeah, you got some wonderful things going on here in the Northeast, as we do in the Northwest. And I came with my son. We drove all the way out from Seattle by car. And we came to see our daughter, Amy, and she's going to school at the University of Rochester. She and her friend, Sarah, are studying nursing there, and they're going to be RNs in 1 year, in 12 months. It's an intense 12 months of studying nursing. Do we have any nurses here in the crowd? Yeah, a couple of nurses. So, anyway. Good, well, let's turn to 1 Samuel in your Bibles. 1 Samuel chapter 14. And today we want to talk about faith. Faith. Faith is an important topic today. And in our relationship with God, and I love that shirt that, who's your worship leader? What's his name? Tim had on. No religion, but relationship. That is so true. As you read through particularly the New Testament, knowing God is about a relationship, not so much religion. With all the ritual, the rules, the traditions, all that stuff. But as you read in the Bible, you find it's a relationship with God. Knowing God. Do you have that? Do you have a daily relationship of love? Well, it's a faith relationship of love with God. Without faith, you can't really know Him. You can't really please Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Going to church is great, but He wants you to know Him. And so faith in Christ, the real faith, is so important. It's also a gift. He's given to each one of us a measure of faith. We're told in Romans, a measure of faith. He's given us faith, but what is the object of your faith? Are you putting your faith in yourself? Now, there's a certain amount of faith you need to have in yourself. God's given you talents, gifts, things, but ultimately our faith is in God. And there's some great pictures in the Bible about faith. To help us understand what faith is. For example, in 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, we walk by faith and not by sight. So there's two pictures right there of what faith is. Faith is, for one thing, spiritual eyesight. What our physical eyes are to this physical world, enabling us to see the beauty of this world, the beauty of God's creation, your eyes. Aren't you thankful for your eyes that you can see? I was walking down by the river, by the university yesterday, and there were some geese flying through. And it was great seeing these geese. How God has made geese is very, very cool. They've got, of course, web feet, you know, And they land on the river and they kind of skim along like a wakeboarder. And then they stick their chest down and almost tumble over, but, you know, they're geese, so they don't. I remember I was wakeboarding and my edge went under and I'm boom, you know, just straight in. As I'm used to water skiing, not skiing sideways like you do on a wakeboard. Anyway, just seeing all this beauty. Now, some people say, well, God is real because you believe in him. But faith isn't what makes God real. Faith simply enables you to experience his reality. You see, some people say, well, he's only real because you believe. And they'll say, at the same time, you know, God, show me and I'll believe. But God says, believe and I'll show you. Now, he may show you some signs and some evidences, but ultimately, to really see how real he is, you have to believe. When you believe in Christ, you experience the reality of God. You come to know that God is real. And so faith is like spiritual eyesight. And you know, faith is not perfect. Our faith is not perfect. It's always needing refining. And that's what the Bible is. It's like glasses. And like I wear glasses. And if I take off my glasses, where'd you go? You're just like a blur. Back this week, we were out on Lake Cayuga. I think that's how they say it. Is that how they say it? Cayuga? Okay. Cayuga? Okay, whatever. Anyway, we were out on the lake. And so we were jet skiing. And Amy and Jordan had been jet skiing. They were having a great time. And then it was my turn. And I went out jet skiing with Jordan. And he was doing great with Amy. But with me, it was a little harder because, you know, you kind of have to balance yourself when you first get on the jet ski. And before it gets going, and I'm heavier than he is. And so I got on and then he got on and I'm kind of tipping it this way. And he's trying to counterbalance it, but he's about 50, 60 pounds lighter. So I tip the whole thing over and it goes all the way over. Well, I have my glasses. And we had put them in the kind of the little box on the thing. It opened up and they went to the bottom. So I didn't have glasses for a whole day. And it was terrible. So these are new glasses. I've already chipped them playing basketball with my daughter. But it was like in a haze. And sometimes spiritually you feel like you're in a haze. But then you read. You read and you pray and you draw close. And God, again, shows how real he is. But again, faith is like spiritual eyesight. Are you willing to open your eyes and believe? Will you extend your faith towards Christ and see how real God is? Now, another metaphor is we walk by faith and not by sight. So it's like walking too. And it's something that you grow at. At first, you're kind of crawling. You know, but a little child, eventually, they want to walk. I remember Amy and Jordan's brother, Riley, when he turned 1 year old, he just got up and started walking. And that's about the time, you know, when kids start walking. So what physical walking is to us in this world, spiritually, we walk with God. We have a relationship with God. We go forward in his will by believing in him. You must believe in him. But what does that mean? What does it mean to believe in God and to experience God and to see his will? See the things that he wants to do in us and through us. He wants to work in you and me and through us. And I see he has been working here in and through people. But there's more, right? There's always more. That's the great thing about a relationship. There's more. There's more depths and heights to experience, and especially with God, because God is infinite. So let's read. We see in the example of Jonathan what faith is and the kind of faith that glorifies God. Let's look at that. Now it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side." But he did not tell his father. And Saul was sitting in the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men. Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, was wearing an ephod. But the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. Now between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other Sene. The front of one faced northward opposite Michmash, and the other southward opposite Gibeah. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For nothing restrains the Lord from saving, by many or by few." So his armor bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Go then. Here I am with you, according to your heart." Then Jonathan said, "Very well. Let us cross over to these men, and we will show ourselves to them. If they say thus to us, 'Wait until we come to you,' then we will stand still in our place and not go up to them. But if they say thus, 'Come up to us,' then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us." So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, "Look, the Hebrews are coming out of their holes where they have hidden." Then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, "Come up to us, and we will show you something." So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel." And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan. And as he came after him, his armor bearer killed them. That first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within about half an acre of land. And there was trembling in the camp, in the field, and among all the people. The garrison and the raiders also trembled, and the earth quaked, so that it was a very great trembling. Now the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and there was the multitude melting away, and they went here and there. Then Saul said to the people who were with him, "Now call the roll and see who has gone from us." And when they had called the roll, surprisingly, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And Saul said to Ahijah, "Bring the ark of God here," for at that time the ark of God was with the children of Israel. Now it happened, while Saul talked to the priest, that the noise which was in the camp of the Philistines continued to increase. So Paul said to the priest, Saul said to the priest, withdraw your hand. Then Saul and all the people who were with him assembled, and they went to the battle. Indeed, every man's sword was against his neighbor, and there was very great confusion. Moreover, the Hebrews, who were with the Philistines before that time, who went up with them into the camp from the surrounding country, they also joined the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel who had hidden in the mountains of Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, they also followed hard after them in the battle. And so the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle shifted to Beth Avon. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this great, true story of how you worked in time past. But Lord, you're just as real right now. You're just as powerful. Your love is just as great toward people right now, especially toward your people, to work in them, through them, to show yourself strong. Lord, we ask that you would open our minds and our hearts. Show us how to believe. Help our unbelief. We ask that you'd move and stir and work in and through us in the ways that you desire. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So faith. It says in verse 1, it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said, let's go over to those Philistines. It just so happened. Just one day. Could be any day. It could be today. Any day. But we're ready. Any day that your heart may be discontent and dissatisfied. You know, Jonathan, he took a look at the situation and he was tired of it. It was bad. The Philistines, the enemies of God and his people, they were so many. And they were oppressing God's people and stumbling God's people. Look over in chapter 13, verse 5. It says, then the Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and people as many as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and encamped in Michmash to the east of Beth-Aven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed, then the people hid in caves, in thickets, in rocks, in holes, and in pits. It was bad. A bad scene. And they were being oppressed. They were discouraged. They were so outnumbered. Do you ever feel like that? You ever feel like, man, the darkness is so much greater than the light around here. In this nation, maybe. In this neighborhood. In this school district. In this family. This is tough. Even in my own life. I feel so defeated. And I'm not satisfied. I'm dissatisfied with my faith in God. I'm dissatisfied and I don't even believe in God, maybe. And I've heard that God can fill the void. Yeah. You know, the Lord often works when you're discouraged, when you're discontented. He starts stirring. You want to see, is God real? That's what Jonathan was feeling. Is God, is the God of our fathers the same? Is he real? And that's a good thing. When you get stirred, this is where faith often has its first sparks. Now, the Lord worked through unlikely channels, unconventional means. The priests were there. In verse 3, it says Ahijah, he was the Lord's priest, and he had an amazing heritage. Son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the great priest of God, the son of Eli, another great priest of God. But this Ahijah, who had all these amazing heroes in the faith, he was the priest, but nothing was happening with him. He was there, he had the ephod, the ark of God, all that, but nothing was going on. They were still defeated. And so here's Jonathan. He's not the king. Normally God would, you know, lead the king, Saul, but there's nothing going on with him. But Jonathan. And then his armor bearer. they're getting stirred. You know, the Lord doesn't always use the pastors. He doesn't always start with them to get things done. A lot of times it's just someone who's, they wants to see something happen. They start praying. They start talking. They want to see if the God of the Bible is true, is real. He doesn't always use big names. In fact, usually he uses people of no name. And they only get big names through the Lord. Always remember that. If God uses you in a big way or shows himself to you, it's him. Now, faith that glorifies God, it's not self-confidence or a showy kind of faith. He doesn't make a big scene out of it. He does it real privately, real quietly. He doesn't even tell his dad, doesn't tell the people. He just feels like a step of faith is necessary. So he's saying, let's go over to the enemy. Let's face him. Let's see what happens. He's not a talker, but a doer. And James said, what use is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith, but he has no works? He doesn't really act on his faith. He doesn't go to find out about God. We were talking to a fellow this week. And he was telling us, you know, I want to believe in Christianity, but it's not for lack of trying that I don't. And I said, well, have you read the Bible yet? No. He said, I was raised in a Christian home, but I haven't read the Bible at all yet. Well, but it's not for lack of trying, huh? God has a bestseller you might want to read. The bestseller every year. So he said, he promised us, yeah, I'll get in, I'll read, I'll find out. Yeah, it's the most influential book ever written. It's changed the world. And so faith acts and steps out and finds out. Not a showy thing. Hey, here I am. Look at me, man. I have faith. Watch God do miracles through me. Now, that's not what Jonathan was about here. Faith needs to be centered on God, not on man, not on self. Now, it's also interesting, faith began with a maybe. Maybe. Three times he says, come, let us go over to these Philistines. He says this to his armor bearer. But look at verse 6. Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. It may be. I don't know. I'm not sure. It's a possibility. Something was stirring. He wasn't sure what was going on. All he knew is he was looking at this enemy and he began to feel, this isn't right. You know, we're God's people. And we're a bunch of scaredy cats. We're hiding in the caves, in the pits, in the mountains. And it says in Deuteronomy 6:19, and this was a scripture that they would have had. It says there that God will drive out all our enemies from before us. That was the promise that God gave to Moses to tell them about all the people in the land, including the Philistines. God will drive out all our enemies from before us. But that's not happening. So maybe he wants to do it now. Maybe through us. You see, faith is not a science. It's more like an art. Try to sense what and how God wants to do things. And a lot of times he'll put things on your mind and on your heart. And he'll say, you know, this neighborhood needs this. Why don't you do this? Why don't you have a Bible study here? You know, this school needs someone to go up there and say, this isn't right. You know? This friendship group needs someone to say, God has really blessed my life. He's really changed my life. But someone has to do it. I wonder how God wants to do it. It's a maybe, but it's based on not presumption. It's not a presumption. Like, I wonder if I should lift that guy out of his wheelchair. Better be careful. Now, God wants to heal, but let him show you clearly that he wants you to do it that way. Now, with Peter and John going up to the temple, remember the lame man sitting there begging? Peter was given this gift of faith at that time, special kind of faith, to say, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. And he picked him up and the guy's legs and ankles were strengthened. And he went walking and leaping and praising God. That can happen. But you have to really sense a definite leading. Don't just presume it's going to happen. But when God shows you a promise and gives you the faith, there's a good chance. He's stirring. And that's what was happening here. But it was maybe. Maybe. And so another aspect of faith. Faith is willing to take a chance. To take a risk. Like Peter. Think of Peter. Peter saw Jesus walking on the water. Right? Here was Jesus walking on the water to the disciples out on the Sea of Galilee. And Peter goes, whoa, that's cool. He doesn't even have any water skis. He doesn't have any inner tubes or anything. He's just walking on the water. Of course, he's Jesus. I wonder if I could do that. The Lord would help me do that. Lord, bid me to come if you want me to come out there. And he started walking. Because the Lord said, come. See? The Lord said, come. The Lord says, come, come. Now, a lot of people say, yeah, but Peter sunk. And they kind of make fun of Peter. Like, he had the weak faith. He just sunk out there, you know. Yeah, but he was the only one who got out of the boat. And he actually walked on water for a little bit. Now, whenever you step out, your faith is going to be tested. And that's another thing about faith. Your faith will be tested. Like you might be thinking to yourself right now, you know, I want to believe in a particular way. I really want to step out. I want to believe. Okay, well, you're going to be tested too. In fact, the enemy loves it when people don't step out in faith and they're so afraid they just sit there. He loves that. He loves to intimidate you from venturing out. He loves people that just sit around and talk about it and don't do it. Because once you step out, then he's angry and he's going to try to nip it right there and try to stop it. And so a lot of times people go, oh, wow, maybe this isn't of God because now I'm experiencing resistance. No, that means it is of God. And the devil wants to shut you down. You keep pressing forward through prayer. And let God help you. And get other people praying. And you know, yeah, Peter sunk. He saw the wind and the waves. He took his eyes off Jesus. And he saw the circumstances. They weren't good. Storm started to blow up. It was going against his legs. He's like, ah, I'm going to sink. Blah, 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 blah. But then Jesus reached out his arm and lifted him out of the water and brought him to the boat. He's not going to let you drown. Think how strong Jesus is. He's standing on the water, and with his arm, he lifts a huge fisherman out from drowning. Brings him to the boat. Lord knows. God's going to help you. I admire Peter. So often, I'll just sit in the boat. I like that comfort. God's saying, come. Step out. And that's what was happening here. Faith takes those risks based on his promise, based on the stirring. It'll step out. I'd rather fail in the process of attempting something than never risking anything. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. Something ventured, you may fail. I've failed a lot. Have you failed at all, Cardi? But man, there's a lot of things that do happen. It's an art. It's not a science. And it's exciting because the biggest benefit is this. You get to know God in a deeper way, in a fuller way. God shows you things. And that's what happened here. Now, Saul, he's just under a pomegranate tree. Can't you just see a guy under a pomegranate tree? Here they are in battle, or at least facing each other. And he's just sitting under a pomegranate tree. Hand me another pomegranate, would you? Maybe someone's peeling the pomegranate and dropping him in his mouth. Not doing anything. He doesn't do anything until God stirs up a couple other guys to do something. And then he's like, oh yeah, maybe we should fight. Maybe God is able. Who's gonna be the catalyst? Who will be the catalyst in your family? Gonna wait around till someone else? Who will be the catalyst in my neighborhood? Is it gonna be me? You say, well, Wayne, I just don't have courage. Faith in God will give you courage. God will give you courage. God takes, you know, weak little people. He loves to use the weak and the foolish things of this world to confound the strong and the wise. And he doesn't just work through the normal channels. Like, Saul sees something happen. Something's stirring. Oh, no. And the enemy's starting to melt away. Wow, what's going on? Huh? Let's get the ark out here. The priest and the ephod. Come on, let's find out what's going on, you know. That doesn't reveal anything. Now, God has used that in the past, but now he's just using a prince and an armor bearer. And so they try that. Saul tries that for a while. Doesn't get any messages from the ark or anything. So he says, put it away. Let's go fight. Let's go get involved in what the Lord's doing. Doesn't just happen at church. Now, church is often where things begin and get stirred. As you're worshiping, praying, hearing the word, that stirs you. If you're feeling stirred, then you can step forward. Take a risk. Maybe one of those maybes will come to fruition. Now, look at verse 4. Or actually at the end of verse 6, I'm sorry. One other thing about faith. It says, it may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. Yeah, we're just a couple of guys. But you know, God could use just two people. He doesn't have to have the whole army. He could just use a couple of us. Now notice, nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many. Nothing's impossible with God. Now in this situation, it seemed impossible. You're talking 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, an innumerable army. That's why people were afraid. They had reason to be afraid. And there's always reasons to be afraid. Many of us, including myself, are plagued with fears. You have a lot of fears, a lot of anxieties, a lot of worries. Dear people, those giants are the very ones where God wants to show himself to you. Those are the things he wants to defeat. He wants to show you that you don't have to be afraid of that. Because he's greater than that. And his love for you can cast away any fear. Doesn't matter what it is. I used to have a fear of flying. And the Lord's completely removed it. I used to have a fear when I was young, going away from home. I couldn't even stay overnight with a friend. I'd go stay overnight with a friend when I was a young teenager, and I'd have to come home before we actually went to sleep because I was afraid. Because you see, I was raised in an alcoholic home. My mom and dad often fought. I was worried about what was going on at home, and I just wanted to go home. I was such a wimp and a baby. I mean, imagine telling your friends, I gotta go see if my mommy's okay. Okay, buddy, cool. No, I felt embarrassed and ashamed. I worried, back then they had the draft going, and I was young. And I thought, oh, great, I'm going to get drafted in the army and have to go home. I miss my mom. Would that be an honorable or dishonorable discharge? That's the type of fearful person I was. And you know, at a camp one time, my mom said, why don't you go to this Christian camp? But mom, you know, I can't stay away for like that overnight. Try it. So I did. The first night we were having worship like we were earlier here. During that worship time, the Lord's presence and his love so flooded my heart. It removed immediately all my fears. And God showed me, I'm with you all the time and I love you so much. You never have to worry again. And I never have. I mean, it was gone. Boom, just like that. It was one of those real just miraculous kinds of things. All throughout my life, he's said, face your fears and watch me work. In other words, every single fear, every single barrier, every single challenge, trouble, difficulty, no matter what it is him saying, I want to show myself to you as greater than this. So whenever a trouble comes or an impossibility, say to yourself, I think God wants to work here. He wants to show himself to me and the people around me. That's exactly what happened here. See, the Lord's not restrained by difficulty or by many or by few. The Lord doesn't just use the big churches. He uses small churches too. In fact, every big church was first a small church. Every big ministry was once a small ministry. The goal isn't big. The goal is just, God, glorify yourself. Show yourself. Incredible. Now, I love the armor bearer's attitude. Because see, this is stirring in Jonathan's heart. He tells the armor bearer, and the armor bearer, verse 7, says to him, do all that is in your heart. Go then. Here I am with you according to your heart. I'm right with you. I'm behind you. I'm supporting you. I'm praying for you. Let's do it. For every visionary, there's 50 or 100 supporters that are needed. Not everyone's a pioneer. You see, I just don't see myself as a pioneer. You can be the armor bearer. You can get behind someone who has a vision. You can pray. You can say, I'm with you. In fact, God wants you to attach yourself. If you're not the visionary, attach yourself to someone that you see doing something you're excited about for God. And He'll use you just as much. There are two great men of faith here, Jonathan and his armor bearer. And they were both in the action. You can be in the action. And so they went up. They went up and Jonathan puts out this fleece and he says, well, if they say come up here, then we'll take that as from the Lord. They say, stay there, we're coming down to you. No, we know it's God saying no. So you want to make sure the Lord's opening the door. You put it out there. Lord, show me through some clear fleece or guide or something. But then when the Lord does fulfill that and He opens the door. Now imagine, okay, so they say, hey, you guys, we're coming up. And the Philistine guys say, it's the Hebrews. Hey, come on up here. Uh-oh. That's the sign we were asking for. Do you think God is really, really working? Because see, then is that point. Okay, he's given us a sign. Will I do it? But then I love how it says, Jonathan went up on his hands and knees. Yes, you keep going forward, but on your knees. Prayerfully. Because when he opens the door, don't shrink back then. That's when you keep going, but go through prayerfully. You know, my wife, she was the only Christian in her family. The only one that had received salvation from Christ. And we had witnessed and witnessed and witnessed to her family so much. Our kids had witnessed, we'd witnessed. But she just felt so impressed to start praying intensely. And then being there for them every way they could. Her brother, a gay man, had AIDS. He began to die. And he was on his deathbed. And word came. We didn't even know. He hadn't even said that he had this. He was so ashamed of his life. She was the first one down to San Francisco. On his deathbed, she prayed with him and he surrendered his life to Christ and became a Christian. And died a few weeks later. First one. Then the Lord healed my wife of thyroid cancer after 25 plus years of having it. It's an amazing thing. And God spoke to her in a visitation. And we're not given to this, but God just did it. And told her, I want you now to share with your mom and your other brother who also have cancer. Well, she began to pray for them. And particularly her mom and her dad. Her dad's a staunch evolutionist. He's almost as excited about evolution as I am about creation. That's how staunch he was. And that was a stumbling block to him believing in a God who created the world. He told her that. He wanted to believe, he said. And so anyway, she's been praying for him, witnessing him. Well, just a couple weeks ago, he prayed to receive Christ. Now, just last night, he had this important meeting. So Kathy said, well, let's pray. They prayed. The meeting turned out exactly as they prayed. And he came back and he said, wow, I witnessed with my own eyes that God answered our prayer. God is showing himself to him in a new faith that he has. Man, the Lord works through prayer. 13 times in the New Testament, he said, ask and you shall receive. That's how it begins and how it grows. Starts with prayer. That feeds our faith. The Word builds our faith. And God works. Pretty soon, people are falling for God. Falling for the Lord. Don't hide your faith. They revealed themselves to the enemy. And then God showed himself. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Put it out there like a little bit of perfume. Now just put a little out there. You don't have to, you know how people that put on too much perfume? Kind of like, oh, you're around me. But if you put on a little, people go, oh, that's nice. What is that? Same thing with our witness. Put it out there. See if people, kind of like as you're fishing, maybe some people want to bite. Others not. But you're willing to be a vessel. God wants to work. It's time to come out of hiding. Come out. God's stirring in your heart. He can use me. He will. Philadelphia, a great city in America. It was founded by a man named William Penn. You probably know the story. Great Christian man. And at one point, the Native Americans, they really liked this guy. And they said, you know, you need a homestead. And we'll give you as much land as you can walk around in one day. And William Penn took them seriously. They were they thought, you know, it wouldn't be that much. He took them really seriously. He got up the next morning, way before dawn, and he started walking. He started walking and walking and walking, and he walked long into the night, and he marked this territory. And then the next day he showed the Native Americans where he'd walked, and they were shocked. You walked around all that in one day. Huge area, Philadelphia, a city of brotherly love. There's a great scripture to close with, and that is in Joshua 1:3. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I have promised. Faith is walking with God. He has territory for you in your family life with Christ, in your workplace, here in the church, in the ministry, in this region. He has ground. And your faith was made for walking. Just like that old song, these boots were made for walking. How many remember that song? Yeah. Let's sing that in closing. No. Your faith was made for walking. He's got ground for you in your family, in your personal devotional life, in your ministry. It's exciting in the challenges you face. And I want to encourage you to step forward in that faith that glorifies God. Watch Him work. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we're so thankful to you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this story. And thank you for stories that are being told every day in those who are not content with the status quo, not content to be on the outside looking in, not content to just sit around. We want to step out and walk with you. I just pray, God, that you'd show yourself to them. Show your glory to them, your love to them, your wisdom, your power. Dispel our fears. Help us press through. If you're here this morning and you don't have this faith relationship of love with Christ, but you'd really like that. You want to pray and receive Christ and come to know Him in a real daily relationship with God. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I'd like to pray with and for you. Just put up your hand, would you? You'd like that. God bless you, young man. God bless you, sir. Anyone else? Say, yeah, I want to find out how real God is. Anyone else? God bless you. Don't be ashamed. If you feel something stirring, like Jonathan did, it's a great thing. Take a step. Yeah, I see your hand in the back, young man. I see your hand, ma'am. God bless you. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, sir. Anyone else? God bless you, sir. And pray with me, just right where you're seated, silently, to God. Say from your heart, Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you rose again from the grave. And I invite you to fill me with your Spirit. Fill me this moment with your Holy Spirit. Make me a child of God. Empower me to live for the Lord. Guide me in stepping out, learning your word, the Bible. Learning how to follow you each day. Reserve that place for me in heaven. Thank you for loving me so much. And Lord, we all are so thankful for what you've done. And ask, Lord, that you'd be glorified through us, that the faith that you've given us, we would act on, allowing you to glorify yourself, not limiting you with unbelief. Help us keep growing in our faith. Thank you for answering the prayers of each of us. And I pray that you'll bless this week for each one, Lord, as they walk with you, as they step out, that you'd show your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.